Good morning. Our reading today will be from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 16. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found, because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland, and truly if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them.
Again, we look at this great chapter 11 of Hebrews and this great list of heroes of the faith in the Old Testament. We find faith defined for us here, and then many examples of true faith, people that believed God, that believed the promises of God and acted upon it. And so again, we look to those faithful men and women who have set the course for us, past in history, whether it be biblical history or throughout the history of the church, and what a great example they have set for us. I'd like to do our announcements at this time, because our next hymn is going to lead right into our time of prayer and praise. I'm not sure who's leading children's church this morning. Dan is leading children's church, all right? Children are dismissed for children's church with Dan. Paul said, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." And I can truly say that about our church. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, of every one of you. And that is going to be our subject this morning, the subject of thanksgiving. As we approach our national holiday known as Thanksgiving Day, it is my purpose this morning to focus our hearts and our minds not on turkey and football, but on the God who is the giver of every good and perfect gift. And we're going to see today that giving thanks unto God is not merely a suggestion or a good idea for us as God's people, but giving of thanks is a command found in Scripture. We are commanded in the Scriptures to give thanks unto God. But it's not as if we have no reason to be thankful to Him, of course. As we are going to see, we have a multitude of reasons for being thankful unto God. And then we're also going to look at, briefly, the close connection between thanksgiving and joy. Not the day of thanksgiving, but the idea of thanksgiving, the necessity of thanksgiving. There is a close connection in the Scriptures between thanksgiving and joy. Wherever you find true thanksgiving, you also find true joy. And so let's begin today by coming to an understanding that giving thanks unto God is a command. In fact, for the Christian, we are commanded to give thanks in all things. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16. And I heard one preacher refer to these three commands, these three imperatives in these next three verses as the habits of holiness. And I think it's always stuck with me. But we read here, the Apostle Paul writes, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." You know, a lot of people wonder what God's will is, you know, for their lives and in certain situations. But the Bible is full of commands in that we know what God's will is. And it says clearly here that it is the will of God in Christ Jesus that we rejoice always, that we pray without ceasing or be in a continuous habit of prayer. And then thirdly, in everything, we give thanks. And again, it says, because this is the will of God for us. These are, again, these are imperatives. These are commands. They're not suggestions. And Paul is even more direct in Ephesians 5:20, where he writes that we are to give thanks for all things. Be thankful for all things. Even tragedies, even difficult trials. Maybe you're thinking, you got to be kidding me. Well, I'm not kidding, and more importantly, the Apostle Paul is not kidding either. The only way that we can be thankful for all things or in all things is when we remember that we serve a sovereign God. God is sovereign, and we are lost sinners saved by grace. And outside of Christ, we are deserving of nothing. And so the only way that we can be thankful for all things is that we remember that we serve a sovereign God, that we are lost sinners saved by grace and grace alone through faith alone in Jesus Christ, and we are deserving in and of ourselves of nothing except for God's judgment and wrath. And we're going to focus in a few minutes on reasons why we can be thankful even for difficulties and trials. Now, God established how important it is to Him that His people be thankful back in the Old Testament. I'd like you to flip back to the book of Leviticus with me, please. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, chapter 22, and verses 29 through 31. Leviticus 22, you probably all beat me there, 29 through 31. It says, "And when you offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, offer it of your own free will. On the same day it shall be eaten, you shall leave none of it until morning. I am the Lord. Therefore you shall keep my commandments and perform them. I am the Lord." And so God even instituted a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto Himself way back in the Old Testament. Well, if we're commanded to give thanks unto God in everything or for all things, then to not do so is sin, right? If we're commanded to be thankful unto God and we're unthankful, then we are in sin. And we see how God views unthankfulness in Romans chapter 1. I'd like you to go back to the New Testament with me now to Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. And among other things here, we find how God views unthankfulness. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. We read here the inspired words of the Apostle Paul, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them or evident among them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made through his creation, even his eternal power and Godhead," or his divine nature, his deity, "so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their hearts, and their foolish hearts were darkened." And so two of the great sins of rebellious mankind which incur the wrath of God is that they do not glorify him as God, and they are not thankful. And so we are clearly commanded to give thanks in everything. Now, one of the interesting things that I observe in our culture today is that a lot of people say that they are thankful. You hear it all the time. I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for that. You hear athletes on TV, "Well, I'm thankful for this opportunity." You know, you hear that sort of statement a lot. But who are they thankful to? That's the question that always crosses my mind. It seems to many that thankfulness is merely an emotion to be expressed. You know, something good happens, you're feeling good about it, and so you express that you're thankful. But who are you thankful to? Oftentimes, these same people have no object for their thanksgiving. It's just something they sort of say as part of a reflection of how they're feeling at that particular moment. But we know that the object of our thanksgiving is, of course, to be Almighty God himself. The unbelieving world is willfully ignorant of the fact that God is the source of all blessing, of every single blessing. Believer, unbeliever, whether they believe it or not, he is the source of every single blessing in this world. Turn with me back to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. Verses 45 and 46. And here, of course, last Sunday we looked at Jesus' command that we love our enemies. He says, "Love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." And then he tells us why here in verse 45. He says, "That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same?" Think of the love and mercy of God, who has blessed down through the centuries those who despise him and deny him. He has poured out his blessing on a world that hates him, that despises him, that rejects him. He is the source for their blessing, and they don't even recognize him for it. Millions of Americans will celebrate Thanksgiving Day this Thursday without a clue that their blessings are directly from the hand of Almighty God. In fact, Paul declared to the pagan philosophers in Athens in Acts 17:25 that the great Creator God gives to all life, breath, and all things. Have you given thought to the fact that there has never been a human being who took a single breath apart from the will of God? None of us is sitting here breathing this morning apart from the will of God. The last breath that you took was a gift from God. a blessing from Him. And so He is the source of all of our blessing and the one to whom we must direct then our thanksgiving. Well, we've seen that we're commanded to give thanksgiving unto God. But what are some of the reasons, the specific reasons for our thanksgiving unto Him? Well, first and foremost, we must thank God every day for our salvation. We need to thank God every single day that He has redeemed us, that He has saved us from our sins. The fact that God in His love and His grace has saved us from our sins through faith in His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the very repentance and very faith that we exercise are a gift of His grace. And the more we recognize our own wretched sinfulness, and the more we recognize the infinite holiness of our God, the greater our thanksgiving should be for this great salvation. I thought of John Newton, the former slave trader, saved by the grace of God, who then became a well-known pastor, writer, and author of that famous hymn, Amazing Grace. John Newton said toward the end of his life, and he was always haunted by the memory that he owned a slave ship and the things that went on that slave ship and the great sins that he was guilty of. Even though he had been saved and forgiven, he was still haunted by that memory. And he said toward the end of his life, "I am a great sinner, but Christ is a great Savior. I am a great sinner, but Christ is a great Savior." And how thankful we must be for so great a salvation. The Apostle Paul demonstrated a thankful and rejoicing spirit for God's grace and mercy in saving him. I'd like you to turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 15 through 18, please. 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 15. Now, you don't see the word thankful or thanksgiving here, but you see the spirit of it as he expresses his praise to God for his salvation. He says, "This is a faithful saying," 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." And we must be thankful not only for our salvation in general, but particularly for the gift of Jesus Christ, that most famous Bible passage of all, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son," that He willingly gave His only begotten Son, "that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And so we must thank God daily for the indescribable gift of His Son. And then secondly, as we are thankful for our salvation, we also must be thankful for the spread of the gospel as others hear about this great salvation and those who labor with us in this effort. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1 and verse 8. Paul greets the Roman church here in Romans chapter 1. And we read here in verse 8. He says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." First of all, Paul was thankful unto God for the brothers and sisters in Christ who were in Rome. He was thankful for them. He was thankful for every church that he ministered to, every individual in those churches. But not only that, he was thankful for them because their faith was spoken of throughout the whole world. People all over the known world at that time were talking about the faith of the Roman believers. Think of that. People all over the world, all over the known world at that time, were talking about the faith of these Roman believers. And undoubtedly, a lot of that was due to the fact that these believers in Rome remained faithful to Christ while living under the nose of wicked Roman emperors. They remained faithful. They lived under the very nose of the seat of the Roman Empire. And yet they remained faithful to Christ. And so Paul expressed his thankfulness unto God for these Roman believers in prayer, as we see here in verse 9. "For God is my witness," Paul writes, "whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." And so we see Paul's thanksgiving for the Roman church and their sharing in the spread of the gospel and the great witness that they were to the entire known world at that time. And we see something quite similar in Paul's letter to the Philippians as well, over in Philippians chapter 1. In his introductory remarks there, Philippians chapter 1, and beginning in verse 3. Paul writes here, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Paul thanked God for the Philippian believers every time he thought of them. Think of that. And what a great and holy habit this would be for us to get into as well. To thank God for a brother or sister in Christ every time we think of them. That would be a great habit to get into. You know how much conflict would be avoided in many churches if we were truly thankful for one another and we expressed thanksgiving to God every time we thought of one another? We mustn't grumble and complain about one another, but we must give thanks for one another. Every time we think of one another, we should be thanking God for what he is doing in one another's lives. And then notice in verse 4 that Paul prayed for the Philippians constantly with joy. He prayed joyfully. Notice verse 4, "always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy." And that's why I said earlier that where you find true thanksgiving, you'll also find true joy. And the opposite is also true. Where you find someone who's unthankful and has kind of a sour spirit and bitter, that person probably isn't a very joyful person. If you will want to experience more joy in your life as a follower of Christ, then be more thankful. Obey the command to give thanks in all things, because thanksgiving and joy in the Scriptures are intertwined. And then notice specifically in verse 5, and I'll just read these three verses again quickly. "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." Paul was thankful for the Philippian believers and for their fellowship, their partnership, their sharing in proclaiming the message of the gospel. He was thankful for them, he prayed for them, and he was thankful for their fellowship, their participation in the proclamation of the gospel, in the advancement of the kingdom. And so Paul sets for us a wonderful example of how we are to be thankful unto God for one another and our fellowship together in the gospel. Well, in James chapter 1, in verse 17, James writes, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights." Every good gift And every perfect gift is from above, which is another way of saying that God is the source of all of our blessings. They are sent to us from above. And we've already looked at the spiritual blessings that are ours in Christ, specifically our salvation. But Paul is more specific in describing our spiritual blessings that are ours in Christ over in Ephesians chapter 1. And so I invite you to turn there with me, please. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. And let's see if we can't pick out some of the spiritual blessings that Paul lists in this wonderful section. One sentence, by the way, from verse 3 all the way to verse 14. One long sentence by the Apostle Paul. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. There we find our election in Christ, that we were chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world, a spiritual blessing that we can be thankful for unto God, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. We have been adopted as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ, according to the sovereign pleasure of God, to the praise and of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. We are accepted in Christ, having been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We stand accepted before a holy God in the beloved, that is, in Christ, clothed with his very righteousness. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We have redemption through his blood, another spiritual blessing, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. Verse 11, in him also we have obtained an inheritance. We have an eternal inheritance awaiting us, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted, he says, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, the gift of the Holy Spirit. You've been sealed, and he is the guarantee, the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. That's a long sentence, and we could spend 7 days a week and 24 hours a day thanking God for his spiritual blessings. But then, of course, we must be thankful unto the Lord for his material blessings, the things that he provides for us on a daily basis. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what's the promise? And all these things shall be added unto you. Everything that you need, both spiritual and material, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first his righteousness, and all these things, everything that you need, will be added unto you. He doesn't want us worrying day by day about our material needs. He promises to provide for our needs if we put him first, if we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And then in Philippians 4:19, what does Paul say? And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My God shall supply all your need. From where? From his infinite resources, according to his riches in glory by Christ. There is no limitation to the provision that he has for you and I. And so we are to thank God for his abundant provision of our daily needs. And we have so much abundance here in America. We have so much to be thankful for. I saw a statistic the other day, and some people are in this category and some not. But if an American individual or family makes $50,000 a year or more, they're in the upper 1% of income in the world. So if there are 99% of the people in the world make less than that. And so you think of the abundance that is ours in Christ. It is amazing. And we have so much to be thankful for. Well, since we're to give thanks in all things, I would be remiss if we didn't discuss for a few minutes the necessity of being thankful in trials. The necessity of being thankful in trials. How is it that we can be thankful to God even in the midst of trials or even in the midst of tragedy? How is it that we can be thankful even during times like this? Well, we've looked at Romans 8:28 plenty over these past months. And what does Paul say there? And we know that God is working all things together for good to those who love Him, to those who are the called according to His purpose. God is working all things together for good. We can be thankful even in the midst of trials because we serve a sovereign God that if you are one of His own, He is taking every circumstance in your life, what the things that you consider good, the trials, the difficulties, the tragedies, even sin in the life of the believer, He is taking every circumstance in our life and He is knitting it all together for your eternal good and for His glory. Everything. He is knitting it all together perfectly for your eternal good and for His glory. I saw this quotation somewhere. It says, "The thankful person sees God's gracious hand in every circumstance." The thankful person sees God's gracious hand in every single circumstance. I'd like to look at the book of Acts for a moment. Acts chapter 16, the example of Paul and Silas. Acts chapter 16 and verse 25. Now, the context here is that Paul and Silas and Timothy also are on a missionary journey. And they were going forth to proclaim the gospel. And they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach in the Roman province of Asia. They sought to go there. God closed the door, said, "No, I don't want you going there." Then they came to Mysia. They tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So they were prevented from going two different places. They just wanted to go preach the gospel. They weren't going to take a vacation or something like that. They wanted to go proclaim the gospel. God said no to this place, no to that place. All of a sudden He has this vision of this Macedonian man who says, "Come and help us." And so they end up in Philippi. So it was like their third choice. Basically, God made it clear that's where He wanted them to be. So you might anticipate a great missionary campaign, a great evangelistic campaign, a great harvest of souls. Well, they did have that. And we see where Paul meets Lydia. The Lord opens her heart to the gospel. She's saved. Her and her household are saved and baptized. But then they end up in prison in Acts chapter 16 and verse 25. They end up in prison. So, you know, some of us, we might be tempted to say, "Well, you know, I tried going here, the Lord said no. I tried going there, the Lord said no. I end up in Philippi, and here I am in prison." Well, look what Paul and Silas were doing at midnight. It says, "But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them." They weren't feeling sorry for themselves. They knew they were in the center of God's will. They were praising God. They were thanking God. They were singing hymns. And, of course, God miraculously loosens their chains. The doors are open. The jailer is about to kill himself because he feels like he's failed in his responsibilities. And, of course, Paul ends up sharing the gospel with him. He's saved. His family's saved. They get baptized. And so the trials we go through are necessary. Paul and Silas were thankful in the midst of trial. And the trials we go through are necessary in order to test the genuineness of our faith. We need to go through trials. That's another reason why we can be thankful. We need to go through trials. Turn with me to 1 Peter, please. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 6 and 7. Now Peter is talking about, again, our great salvation up in verse 5. He says in verse 6 of 1 Peter chapter 1, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved or you have been distressed by various trials." Now, we see a lot there concerning trials. What does it say? For a little while, they're for a limited duration, even though it seems longer most of the time than we would prefer. If need be, trials are necessary. God sovereignly brings trials into our lives because they're necessary. You have been grieved by various trials. Why? That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so the command to be thankful includes being thankful in the midst of trials, in the midst of difficulties, even in the midst of tragedy. And we can only do that by the gracious hand of God. And by the way, just one more thing to add before I conclude. The command to be thankful extends even to our government officials, whether we agree with them or not. The command to be thankful extends even to our government officials, whether we agree with them or not. Is that just my opinion? No, that's what the scriptures teach. Turn with me to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 1 and 2. Paul writes to Timothy here. He says, "Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." I don't know if there's been a situation in Washington that has made it more difficult to be thankful for our government leaders than there is today. And yet, we are commanded to be thankful. We don't just thank God when we feel like it or when we agree with somebody. We are commanded to thank God for all things, in all things. And we are commanded to thank God for all those who are in authority, for kings and all who are in authority. And so it is truly a comprehensive command that we give thanks for everything, that we give thanks in all things. And again, that command to give thanks in everything includes being thankful for those in authority over us, as we've just seen. The command to give thanks in everything includes being thankful in the midst of trials and even tragedy in our lives, knowing that our sovereign God is working all things in our lives together for our good and for His glory. The command to give thanks in everything includes being thankful for one another. And thankfully, we are thankful for one another in this church. We hear it all the time, how thankful we are for one another. And so we need to be thankful for one another and our fellowship together in the gospel. The command to give thanks in everything includes being thankful for our abundant material blessings as God supplies all of our needs. And I would also add the temporal blessings that God brings into our lives every day. Do you pray that the Lord will open your spiritual eyes to the blessings that He brings to us every day? You know, I find that depending on the fact is whether my spiritual eyes are open or not, whether I'm ready for this, I recognize these temporal blessings more when I've prayed about it. You know, a beautiful fall day. a beautiful sunrise, a beautiful sunset. You know, we can drive right through life and just miss it. Or we can be thankful to God for providing that. I think I've thanked God 1,000 times this fall for the beauty of this season, the beauty of His creation. I get to see the beauty of a sunset every day now, driving home from Appleton in my speedy delivery truck. I'm thankful to God. We can be thankful for a good conversation with somebody. We can be thankful to God for a kind word from somebody. Sometimes that's rare in our professions. We can be thankful to God for that. We can be thankful to God for a good test in school, good grades in school. We can be thankful to God for success at work. Thankful to God, for those of you who are young enough to still be involved in sports, for the talent and the abilities that He's given you. They're all gifts from the hand of God. And we need to be thankful for these things. And then finally, the command to give thanks and everything includes being thankful for all the spiritual blessings that are ours in Christ. Again, particularly the fact that in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. And it is that redemption accomplished and applied through the atoning death of our Lord Jesus Christ that we now praise God for, that we now give thanks for as we partake of the Lord's Supper together. But before we do that, I'd like for us to sing, as we do quite often, the first two stanzas of hymn number 178, O Sacred Head Now Wounded. And then we are going to partake of the Lord's Supper together. Hymn number 178, O Sacred Head Now Wounded. Would you stand with me as we sing?